Shir is Daf Samach Aleph. We're going to begin on Daf Samach on the base in the middle of the Amid. The Gemara continues to analyze the halachas that we had learned in the Mishnah. We learned in the Mishnah, Mashinisker Humafsid. Whatever somebody gains in one direction because he put the Erev in that direction, he loses in the other direction. Ask the Gemara. Based on what we're understanding from the Mishnah, Mashnisker Vesulai, you only lose on the other side only as much as you gained on the side that you put the Erev. That means if I put an Erev, one Amma, outside of the city and its extension, I will lose the ability to carry 2,000 Ammas on the other side of the city. If I put the Erev on the right side of the city, on the left side of the city, I'll only be able to carry 1,999 Ammas. But that's all I'll lose. Ask the Gemara of Atanya, we learned in Braisa. Hanoisin is a ruvoi b'taychi bura shalir. If somebody puts his Erev in the extension of the town, as we learned, every town is entitled to an extension of 70 2/3 Ammas. What he did is meaningless, because the extension of the town is considered like the town itself. So what he did is meaningless. Nosnoi chutzli bur shalir. But if you put the Erev outside of this extension, afilu amachas, even if it was only one amma beyond the extension of the town, mistakar os amma, he gains in that direction the amma that he put the Erev down. But here the Braisa says, umafsit as kolir kulay, he loses the entire width of the town in the opposite direction. Because the measure of the town, all aloy b'midas ketchum, is counted towards the measurement of his tchum. So let's understand. Let's say we have a person, let's use diagram 228 on page 76. We have a town here, and we have the extension of the town, and then we have an Erev. So what the Braisa is teaching us is that from the Erev to the right, I count 2,000 Amos. From the Erev to the left, I count also 2,000 Amos. And although I have the city in that area, I don't say that the entire city is considered only like Dalet Amos. Rather, what I say is that I count Amma for Amma. Yet in our Mishnah, it seems to say that you lose it only in direction, what he gains in the other direction. But the city itself remains counted like Dalet Amos. Answers the Gemara Lakasha. Can't she call some Midasa b'chatzi ear? Can't she call some Midasa b'saif ear? The Mishnah and the Braisa are dealing with different cases. The case of the Braisa is diagram 228. That when you count from the Erev to the left, 2,000 Amos, your Tchum, your 2,000 Amos, end up in the middle of the city. In this case, we don't say that the entire city is counted like Dalet Amos. Rather, what we say is that you could only walk to where the 2,000 Amos end. On the other hand, the Mishnah, explains the Gemara, is referring to a situation of Kan Shekols to Midasoi B'Soifi'ir. This is diagram 229. That when you count the 2,000 Amos from the Erev, and you start counting to the left, the 2,000 Amma incorporate the entire city. Since they incorporate the entire city, under such circumstances, the entire city is only counted like Dalet Amos. Kravidi, and this is actually the halacha that Ravidi taught us. Dom Ravidi, Om Rav Yishu ben Levi. How you made the ball? If somebody was measuring his 2,000 Amos to establish his tchum, and he's going towards a town, the kolso midaso b'chatziir, and his 2,000 Amos end in the middle of the town, so that's where his tchum is, that's where his boundary is. On the other hand, kolso midaso b'soifir, if by counting the 2,000 Amos he's able to incorporate the entire town, then nasus kolia kulik dal Amos, the entire city is only counted like 4 Amos, or Mashlimus Hashar, and then he can, after taking off the 4 Amos that he attributes to the city, he continues measuring the Tchum at the end of the town. Now, there's a very interesting Shaila that the Rambam asks, what's going to be the halacha regarding somebody who is living in a city, establishes an eruv outside of the city, which the purpose of is obviously to be able to visit a distant location in that direction on Shabbos. So let's give an example. Somebody lives in the middle of a large city and his house is 1,000 amos from the city wall. Before Shabbos, he places an eruv at a distance of 1,500 amos outside the city wall. That means his eruv is 2,500 amos from his home. Now he walks on Shabbos, he's allowed to walk to his eruv, and then he's allowed to walk 2,000 amos further. Now, the person, let's understand the situation, is permitted to leave his house and take a walk on Shabbos until 2,000 amos past his eruv. Now he's returning back. When does he have to stop? Says the Rambam, he has to stop walking when he reaches 2,000 amos from his eruv. And he will not be able to return to his house on Shabbos, because his house is more than 2,000 amos away from the eruv. His house, as we explained, is 2,500 amos away from his eruv. The Rambam is teaching us that the same halacha that we're learning regarding the person who begins Shabbos outside the city and wants to come into the city, that we only, if his eruv doesn't incorporate, if the whole city is not within his tchum, the whole city is not counted like Dalet Amos, goes in the other direction, even if he started in the city also. However, many Rishonim disagree with the Rambam, and they make a difference between a traveler who begins Shabbos outside the city, and somebody who's a resident in the city, and spends Shabbos evening inside the city. A resident who spends the night in the city is granted permission to traverse the entire city regardless of the size, because it's his actual place of residence. So even though his eruv was placed more than 2,000 from his home, within 2,000 amos of the city border, it makes no difference and he'll be able to come back to his home. And that's the halacha l'maisa. Now there's another interesting shaila. The shaila of Tshuva Mehava brings up the shaila. We're saying now that there's a difference if when you're counting your tchum, does your tchum end in the middle of the city or does it end after the city ends? If it ends after the city ends, then the entire city, we said, in the Gemara is considered like Dalet Amos. If it ends in the middle of the city, we have to count Amma for Amma. Ask the Tshuva Mehava, what's going to be the halacha if your tchum ends at the end of the city, but it's still before the Ibura Shalir, before the extension of the city that we've discussed so many times, that every city is given an extension of 72/3 amos. The Tshuva Mehava explains, do we say that this halacha of giving a city an Ibura Shalir was only said likula, that we extend the city and we only start counting the end of the city after the Ibura Shalir? Here, however, the Ibura Shalir, by giving a city an Ibura Shalir, we're making a Chumrah. Because here, since the Tchum will end before the Ibura Shalir ends, we'll have to count Amma for Amma. So perhaps the Ibura Shalir was only said L'Kula, not L'Chumrah. Or the other side of Tshuva Mehava says, no, Chazal established that every city has an Ibura Shalir, every city has an extension, and therefore makes no difference if it's going to be a Kula or a Chumrah. That becomes part of the city, and therefore is relevant to our Gemara. If the 2,000 Amos conclude before the 72/3 Amos of the extension of the city end, it will be considered like kosa midosai b'toicheir, and you only count amma for amma. Amar of Edi, says the Gemara, this halacha that Yeshua ben Levi said, this nafgamina between kosa midosai b'toicheir and kosa midosai b'soicheir, ain't el divrei nevius. These are words of nevius, a prophecy. There's no logical way of explaining this. So the way Tosfos explained this Gemara, Rav Edi was complimenting Rabbi Shua ben Levi. This is the way Sharm Tzion Balach explains. Rav Edi was complimenting Rabbi Shua ben Levi. What he said is so great. It's like Nevi'is, that he was mechaven to say such a beautiful pshat. Rashi doesn't seem to be so effusive in explaining Rav Idi's comment regarding Rav Yishuv ben Levi. What he says is that Rav Idi was saying like this: if you try to understand Rav Yishuv ben Levi's din logically, it's somewhat difficult to understand. Just what? He says, it's a Mesoira. He was Makabel from his Rebbe's, a Mesoira, that this is the Halacha. There's a difference between Kos Midos B'Soifir or Kos Midos B'Toichir, and since that's the Mesoira he was Makabel as being the Halacha, he follows that Halacha, even though it doesn't make sense. And from here, the Mepaiskim in many different Svarim discussed the issue of Ein Ela Divrei Nevi'os, if we can rely on a Cholom, if we can rely on a Nevuah to Paskin. It's interesting, the Noda Behuda has a Shaila. He quotes a Rosh, that the Rosh discusses the Kashrus of a fish called Bubita, and the Rosh quotes that Rabbeinu Ephraim said that this fish was a kosher fish. And then he said he had a dream where he was told that the fish was not a kosher fish, and he retracted on his psak. And Noda Behuda goes on to say that we can't rely on dreams to paskin shilas. Shilas have to be paskin according to halacha. But in halacha we find many times the shach, and the ratvaz, and others do quote situations where halacha with psak were based on what people, Gedolei Yisrael, saw in a dream. There's a very interesting Samsofa in explaining this Gemara. He says like this: many times, we, all of us, when we learn a Gemara, we're mechavin to a kasha that a Tana says, we're mechavin to a Teretz and a Meir says, we're mechavin to a Ktoifis, to a Rashi, to a Rajba. Says the Samsofa, these people, the Tanoim, the Meroim, the Rishonim, were so much greater than we are in every way. So how were we Zoicha, how are we Zoicha to understand Gemaras the same way that they were able to understand? It's Ein El El Adivri Nevi'os. From HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a Ruach. And the Divrei Chaim explained, this is not Ruach HaKadosh in the traditional sense that we're used to explaining Ruach HaKadosh of Nevuah. It's a special ruach that Kadosh Baruch Hu is mashpia on loin day Torah, that they should be mechavin la mito shel Torah, they should be mechavin to write pshat, they should be mechavin to good kasha, to good teretz. That's pshat what Rav Idi said regarding Rav Yishuv ben Levi. Ein elu divrei nevi'os, that Kadosh Baruch Hu is mashpia on Rav Yishuv ben Levi a ruach min hashemayim to be mechavin to a beautiful pshat. Because if it were not Divrei Nevi'os, says the Gemara, Mali calls it b'chatzi ear, Mali calls it b'soifi ear, why is there a difference? Rava asks Rava, Tavaya Tanini, you're telling me that this is a chiddush of Yishuv ben Levi. It's something that we're going to learn in the next Mishnah. And as the Rishonim explain, Rava is asking two questions. First of all, what's Yishuv ben Levi teaching us? Yishuv ben Levi is not coming to teach us something that's explicit in the Mishnah. Furthermore, Rav Idi is complimenting Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, as we just explained. How great his what he said. So he asks, this is not that great, it's open Mishnah. Because we learned in the Mishnah, Anshi ir gedoyla, mehalchen is called ir ktana. The people that live in the large town could go through the whole small town. But the people of the small town can't travel the dire larger town. Explains Rava, what is pshat in the Mishnah? My Tama, why is there a difference between the people in the small town and the people of the small town? La Mishum, the Hani calls me Dosim Bechatzi here. Mani calls me Dosim Soifi here. We refer to diagram 230. We have the small town and the large town. The people in the small town on the right, when they start counting 2,000 amos from the border of their city, their 2,000 amos end in the middle of the large city. As Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi just said, if the 2,000 amos end in the middle of the city, we don't count the whole city like it's only Dalet Amos. We have to count the amma for amma. However, the people of the large city, the city on the left, when they start counting 2,000 amos to the right direction, the entire small city on the right is included in those 2,000 amos, and therefore, since they're included in those 2,000 amos, that's why it's only counted like Dalet Amos. So what Rav is asking is, the din that Yeshua ben Levi said is really a Mishnah. So what's Rav Edi saying? Says the Gemara, Rav Edi has a different explanation of our Mishnah. He will teach us, and he tells us that Mishnah is not teaching us this din about kol semidasa b'soichir, kol semidasa b'soichir. He says anshe tanan. The way to learn the Mishnah is that the residents of a large city could travel to an entire small city, and the residents of a small city may travel in the entire large town. And what's the shaila? What's the Mishnah teaching us according to Rav Edi? Umerkalim b'noisim. He's teaching us the halacha that we know that if a person is in a city, Bein HaShemashos, he's actually in the city Bein HaShemashos, we've said this halacha many times, so the entire city is considered like Dalet Amos. Tells us Rav Edi that halacha, that Rabbanan teach us, that halacha is not only applicable when you actually living in the city Bein HaShemashos, but even if you put your Erev in the city Bein HaShemashos, where your Erev is considered like it's your Dalet Amos. Ava Moided, regarding the halacha of Moided, Loitnan, that is not what the Mishnah is teaching us, that's a halacha Rabbi Shulman Levi said. And as we're going to learn in the Gemara, actually Rav Edi's Pshat in the Mishnah is the more obvious Pshat. Because if you learn the Mishnah, you'll see that's the case that the Mishnah explains when it says Ketzad. Continues the Gemara. V'loi, ask the Gemara, V'tanan, let's learn what it said at the end of the next Mishnah. It says in the Mishnah, Ulamaydich Amrun Noisun Layapayim Amma. But somebody who said that when we're measuring, we give him 2,000 Amas, Shasilus Soif Midosai Kolabimara. That even if the measure ends in the middle of a cave, he can't go past the rest of the cave. So the Mishnah clearly is teaching us that if a person's tchum ends in the middle of a cave, he could only walk up to that part, and he can't consider the entire enclosed area like Dalet Amos. Answered the Gemara, what Rabbi Shulman ben Levi had to teach us was Soifi Eretz Tichlei. That, yes, this Mishnah teaches us what the halacha is when the 2,000 Amos end in the middle of the cave. But what's the halacha of the 2,000 Amos end after the cave, after the city, the Loitnan, which was not taught in the Mishnah, and that's where Rabbi Shulman ben Levi comes to teach us that then the entire city, then the entire cave is considered like Dalet Amos. So now we have two ways of learning the Mishnah. The Mishnah on the bottom of the Samach Aleph, on the bottom of our Amid. In fact, the Gemara is now explaining the Mishnah. The Gemara is not going to go through all these explanations in the Mishnah when we get to the Mishnah, because we're already explaining the Mishnah now. Amar Rav Nachman, Man Datani Anshila Mishtaba, one who learns the Mishnah like Rav Edi, that the Mishnah is teaching us that both the people of the small town could travel to the whole through the whole town if they left the Erev in the big town. And the people of the big town could travel through the whole small town if they left the Erev in the small town, Lo Mishtabish is not making an error in learning Pshat that way. And the person who learns Pshat, who learns that the Girsa of the Mishnah is that the Mishnah is teaching us that the people of the large town could travel through the whole small town, but the people of the small town can't travel the whole large town, also Lo Mishtabish is not making an error. Mandatami Anshila Mishtabish, the one that learns, like Rav Edi says, that the Mishnah teaching of the people of a small town could travel through the whole big town, and vice versa, the Mokan Levinoisin. He's explaining that the Mishnah is teaching us the halacha of putting down, where you put down the Erev is equivalent to where you live. The city in which you put your Erev becomes the city where you live, and that city therefore has the din of a Dalet Amos. Mandatani Anshila Mishtabish, the one that teaches us that, like Rava taught us, that the people of the small town cannot travel through the whole large town, is not making a mistake. because he's teaching us the Maikin Leib Maidit. The Mishnah is teaching us the halacha of measuring, and there's a nafkamina, there's a difference if the measure of Yitchum ends in the middle of the town, or Yitchum ends after the town. The Chsur Mechsur of Hachitani. And there's a problem. Because if you're going to learn that way, when we look at the Mishnah, let's look at the Mishnah in the bottom of the Amid. The Mishnah says Ketzad. And the Mishnah describes a case of Nisen, of somebody put down the Erev, wasn't actually there, was only relying on being on the town by putting his Erev there. So we see that the Mishnah is talking about a case of Nisen. So how could you say, ask the Gemara on Rav Nachman, on Rava, that the Mishnah is talking about a case of Maidit? The Chsur Mechsur V'Hachik Tani. You have to add words into the Mishnah. And learn like this. The people of the large city could walk through the whole small city. But the people of the small city cannot walk through the entire large city. Regarding what is this said, regarding somebody who's measuring, and it makes a difference where his tchum ends. Ava misha oyu b'gdoyla. If somebody was in a large town, v'niach es eruva b'gerektana, and he put his eruv in the small town, or hay b'gerektana, he was in the small town, v'niach es eruva b'gerektana, and put his eruv in the big city, there, the place where you put your eruv is considered that you're living in that city, and that city therefore is considered for you like it's Dalar Amis, and therefore Malach is kuloi v'chutz lo epayim amma, he can walk outside the city. After the city ends, then your 2,000 amma count begins. Begins the Gemara. Amr of Yosef, Amr of Abba, Amr of Huna. Ir sheyesheves al sfas nachal. A city that's on a slope. Im yesh lefene daka arba. If there is a wall of 4 amas high in front of the town, which serves as a way of preventing the city from rolling down, mayim leim sfas nachal. Then we measure the tchum of this town from the edge of the nachal. Then laugh, but if not, we measure from everybody, we measure a person's house from the 2,000 amos. So the way Rashi explains the Gemara is as follows. Since this city is on a slope, so it's not really a kavua, it's not really a mukam kavua, it's not really a strong city. Since it's not really a strong city, we cannot count the entire city as one area. And as we've learned so many times, begin counting the tchum only after the city ends. Rather, under such circumstances, the tchum from every individual living in the city will be given from his home. What will make the city be considered one city? That we should start counting only from the end of the city? If a wall, if a daka, dalat amos high, is created, that is an enclosure of the city, and therefore even though the city is on a steep incline, we will begin counting from the daka, we begin counting from the end of the city, not from every person's individual home. Omelon Abaya, so Abaya asked of Yosef, daka abra amos amit lon Allah, you're teaching us regarding this case that you have to have a daka 4 amos high. All the other situations, we just had a case of a daka on daf nun tesamim beis, that there it was sufficient that the daka should be dalet tfachim, 4 tfachim high. Amalei, so Rabbi Yosef responded, hasam loy bisa tashmishtam. In all the other cases where Chazal required a daka, it was only for a heker. It was only to show some sort of a simon. So a daka of dalet tfachim is enough. However, here, hacha b'isa tashmishta, we're talking in a situation where it's an area which is frightening. It's an incline. The only way we show that the people consider this city a regular city, even though it rests on such a steep incline, is when there's a wall. And therefore, the wall has to be a wall of 4 amos. I'm Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef says, "No, aminallah. From where do I come to say this halacha regarding the city on a slope that requires a daka?" The Tanya, we learned in a brisa, "Hit the Rebbe Shebin Eged the Yard of Chamsun." Rebbe said that the people that lived in Geder to go to the town of Chamsun and Shabbos. However, ve'ein b'nei Chamsun on Geder, the people of Chamsun cannot go up together. So now we have to understand what's pshat in this brisa. My Tama. So Rav Yosef explains the brisa. Lab mishum nahani of a daka. the people, Geder and Daka, were both on a slope, as is shown in the diagram in Rashi. The people of Geder built a wall at the edge of their town to prevent falling down the slope, and therefore they started measuring the tchum from the edge of their town. By measuring the tchum from the edge of the town, the entire chamsa was included in those 2,000 amos. However, Hani Lora Vadakam, the people of Khamsan did not build a wall at the edge of their town, and therefore they have to count the tchum, as we explained before, from their individual houses, and therefore the entire gather wasn't in the tchum, because you start counting from the house, not from the edge of the city. The Gemara, however, now will bring a number of other pshatim in explaining this braisa about Geder and Chamsan, which have nothing to do with a city on a slope, nothing to do with Dakos, and therefore this braisa can no longer be necessarily a makar, a source for Rabbi Yosef's din. Kiyosu Rav Dimi explained, Tetrugi detrugi lhu b'dei Geder ben Chamsan. The people of Geder would assault the people of Chamsan. So what does hitta mean? Hitta doesn't mean permitted. Hiskin. What Rebbe made was, he made a decree. And he said that the people from Chamsan should not go together because they would be insulted there. Ask the Gemara, if that's the concern, that we don't let the people from Chamsan go together because they're going to get assaulted there, why should not Shabbos? So it shouldn't have to do with Shabbos. It should be even during the week. Answers the Gemara, the Shchicha b'Shikras. On Shabbos, people drank, and since the people of Geder were anyway aggressive, they became even more aggressive when they drank, and that's why Rebbe had to make a special rule regarding Shabbos. So ask the Gemara, so why do we allow the people of Geder to go to Chamsan? When they'll come to Chamsan, they'll start up with the people in Chamsan. Answers the Gemara, there's a old saying that a dog, when it's not in his own place, doesn't bark for 7 years. So the people of Geder will not start up with the people in Chamsan because they're not in their home territory. Ask the Gemara, so now, if the Bnei Geder, the people from Geder act better when they come to Chamsan, why aren't we concerned that the Bnei Chamsan are going to start up with them? Says the Gemara, they may behave better when they're not home, but kula hai lekaifulei, they're not going to be so nice that they're going to be completely subservient to the people of Chamsan. Rav Safra has a different explanation of the situation of Geder and Chamsan. Ir ha'asui kekeshes havoi. So the way Rashi explains, Chamsan was a town that was shaped like a bow, whose two ends were 4,000 amos or more apart, that we learned earlier that in such a situation the 2,000 amot chum is measured from each point along the town's border independently. So now, all of Chamsan was within 2,000 amos of Geder's lower border. That's why Rebbe permitted Geder's residents to go to Chamsan. But the 2,000 amot chum of the bottom of the bow like Chamsan ended just within Geder. Therefore, Rebbe prohibited the residents in the bottom of Chamsan's bow from going to the top of Geder because it was beyond the 2,000 amos. And like the Ritva explains, what Rebbe was teaching us is that when 4,000 amos separate the ends of a bow like city, the tchum of the city is measured individually from each point rather than considering the whole city like $1 amos. Rav Dirin Bar Chanina has a different explanation of the story of Geder and Chamsan. He says, it was a situation of a big city, Geder was a large town, and Chamsan was a small town. And like we learned at the beginning of our shiur today, the entire Chamsan was within the tchum of Geder, and that's why it's Katal like Dalar Amos, and that's why the people of Geder could go to Chamsan. Whereas Geder was not entirely within the tchum of Chamsan. In the middle of Geder, the end of the 2,000 Amos came, and like we explained, that if the tchum comes in the middle of the city, then you can't count the whole city like Dalar Amos. Rav Kahana Masnahochi. Rav Kahana explained it this way, that Rav Safru explained that the situation of Gedim and Chamsun was a situation of Ir Asui Kekeshes. Rav Din and Bachinan explained it that it was a situation of Ir Gdol v'Ir Ketana. However, Rav Tavyumi Mas Nahacha, the way Rav Tavyumi explained their explanation of Rebbe's ruling was like this. Rav Safru of Din and Bachinan. We have Rav Safru of Din and Bachinan who are explaining Rebbe's rule. One explains it that it's a situation of Chano Meir Asui Kekeshes Havoi, and one explains that it was a situation of Anshi Yigdoil of Anshi Yigdoil Havoi, but he wasn't quite sure who said which explanation in the story of Geder and Chamsun. Begins the Mishnah. Anshi Yigdoil Mahalchans Kol Yigdana, the people of the large city may walk the entire small city, and the people of the small town can walk through the entire large town. So the way we have the Giras in the Mishnah, Rashi points out, is the way Rav Edi explained the Mishnah, that the Mishnah is not teaching us the halacha about if the Tchum ends in the middle of the city or at the end of the city. The Mishnah is teaching us a halacha regarding where somebody places the Erev, and explains the Mishnah. Ketzad, mi shahoyu bi'ir gdoila. If somebody was in a large town, v'nosna seruva bi'ir ketana, and he placed his Erev in a small town. And like Rashi explains, there must be more than 141 and a third amis separating these two cities. Because if there's less than that, as we've learned earlier, these two cities will be considered one city. Or, bi'ir ketana, v'nosna seruva bi'ir gdoila. Somebody's in a small town, but he put his Erev in a large town. So the halach is, mahalach is kuloi v'chutz lo yapayim amma. He's allowed to walk the entire town in which the area was placed, and 2,000 amas beyond it. Because he doesn't begin counting his tchum until he reaches the end of the town. The town in which he puts his Erev is considered his town, even though he's not actually there. Kiva says, this halach that we've been learning, that the entire town is not counted towards the Tchum. Only after you leave the town do you start counting the Tchum. It's not in a town in which you put your Erev. It's only Eile Ela Mokim Meiruve Apayim Amma. Then you only have 2,000 Amas. Only when a person lives in the town, that's when we have the halacha that we start counting the Tchum after the town. But if he's only relying on that town because he put his Erev Tchumim in that town, then the town will not be considered that all one area and start counting the Tchum after the town. Amar Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva says to the Rabbanim, "Iyatem Moedimli, don't you agree with me? But nois in Eruv Amora, if somebody puts Erev in his cave, Shein Lo Elam Makom Eruv El Paim Amma, that we only count 2,000 Amas from actually where the Erev is. We don't start counting the 2,000 Amas after the cave, but rather from where the Erev is." So the same should be where he puts his Erev in a town. Amrloi. So the Rabbanan answer Akiva, Ei Masai Bezman Shem Diurim. You know where there'll be a difference regarding a cave? It's a cave where nobody's living in the cave. So there you count from where he actually put his Erev to start counting the 2,000 Amos. Ava Yeshbe Diurim. But if there are people living in the cave, or we're talking about a town in which people live, mahalach is kula, then the cave, you can walk the whole cave, and only the chutzalai, after the cave, do you start counting the alpayim amma, the 2,000 amma. Nimtza, and they make an observation, it comes out, kal toichem al gaba. The interior is more lenient than the top. If somebody put a Erev in the inside of an inhabited cave, he only began counting his tchum from the cave's outer walls. If, however, he places the Erev on the cave's roof, he begins counting his tchum from the place of his Erev. Therefore, by putting the Erev inside the cave, he gains more space than by putting it on the roof of the cave. Continues the Mishnah, regarding somebody who he said that he's measuring his tchum from a place outside the town, that the Chazal said that we give him 2,000 Amos, that even if his measure ends up in the middle of a cave, that's where he has to stop and he can't walk further. That is a very fundamental question that the Or Sameach asks on Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, now Mishnah, is clearly explaining that the Erev Tchum works. His only difference of opinion between Rabbi Akiva and the Tanakhama is when the Erev will work. That means according to Tanakhama, the Erev works just as good as if I was actually in the city. And according to Rabbi Akiva, you can't compare placing of an Erev to putting in the city. As the Or Sameach, we learned earlier in our Masechta, Rabbi Akiva is the man that holds that Tchum is the Raisa. So as the Or Sameach, if Tchum is the Raisa, so how could a rabbinical device called Erev Tchumim work against a halacha midrash that you can't walk more than 2,000 amos? So the Or Sameach explains this way. This way I understand the Or Sameach at least. What's going to be the halacha according to Rabbi Akiva? That there is a halacha of Tchumim that you only can walk 2,000 amos midrash. But let's say somebody is in a spot where to the right he can't walk under any circumstances, he can only walk to the left. What will Rabbi Akiva hold in such a situation? When the Torah said that a person has a tchum of 2,000 amos, according to Rabbi Akiva, that's midaraisa, says the Or Sameach, the Torah says that a person doesn't really only have 2,000 amos. A person really has 4,000 amos. Just what? We place the person in the middle of the 4,000 amos. And we say that he's in the middle of the 4,000 amos, and he can walk 2,000 amos in each direction. However, if the person will choose, or the person is impassable to walk in one direction, and he chooses the entire 4,000 amos in the other direction, that's not going against what the Torah said. That's actually following what the Torah said. Because it's not that the Torah said you only have 2,000 amos. The Torah says the Or Sameach, according to Bekiva, says you have 4,000 amos. Just normally, how do we look at the 4,000 amos? That you're in the middle of the four, and toward each direction. But of course, if the person chooses, even midaraisa, to take all four in one direction, he may do so. Begins the Gemara. Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Shavas b'ir chareva. If somebody begins Shabbos in a city where there's nobody living there. So like Rashi explains, there are walls around the city, but all the people that live there abandoned it. And somebody was physically in that city, bein hashmashos. So the halacha is, l'rabbanan mahalchus kula, v'chutz l'apay mama. According to Rabbanan, he could walk through an entire town, since he was actually there, and also passed it 2,000 amos. And like Rashi points out, Rabbi Akiva is going to agree with this then. Because Rabbi Akiva agrees that if somebody is physically in an enclosed area, bein hashmashos, that entire area is considered like dalet amos. The reason Shmuel is making a statement according to Rabbanan is because the next part of his statement there's enough communion between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbanan. He niach es eruv b'ir chareva, but let's say he put his eruv in a city that's desolate. Not that he was actually there, bein hashmashos. There ain't like meruva elapayim ama. Then he counts the 2,000 amos from his makam eruv. What Shmuel is saying is that even though Rabbanan taught us in the Mishnah that just by putting down an eruv in a place that makes the entire city, the entire enclosed area, like your dalet amos, and you only start counting the 2,000 amos at the end of the city, that's only in a case where the city is inhabited. But if the city is not inhabited, that halacha doesn't apply. Rabbi Lazar says, Echad Shavas Vecha Neniach, it doesn't make a difference whether he put down an Erev or whether he was actually there in the desolated area. Mahalchas Kul V'chutz L'Apay Mama. There is no Nachkamina if the city is inhabited or not. Meisvei asked the Gemara Rabbi Lazar, it said in our Mishnah, Amalai Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva said, Yat the Maidim Li, Rabbi Akiva says to Rabbanan, Yat the Maidim Li B'maisin, say Ruva B'mara. If somebody put his Erev in a cave, that you only start counting the 2,000 amos from where his Erev is, Amroloi. So how did Rabbanan respond to the Rabbi Akiva in our Mishnah? Amasai, Bezman She'ein by the Urim. That's a cave because nobody's living there. Ha, Be'ein by the Urim. So what do we see from our Mishnah? That Rabbanan agree with Rabbi Kiva that if the enclosed area is a place which is not inhabited, then we don't count that, and you put your Erev there, we don't say that that entire enclosure is considered Dalet Ames. The Rabbanan will then agree with Rabbi Kiva that you count from where you put down the Erev. So why is Rabbi Elazar saying that if you put the Erev in this Ir Chareva, you only start counting from outside the city? Answers the Gemara, that what my aim by the Urim, what is aim by the Urim in the Mishnah mean? In a royal Adira, it's a place where you can't live. That's why Rabbanan say you start counting from where the Erev actually is. But if it's a city, although right now maybe nobody's living in the city, but it is a city where people can live, there Rabbi Elazar will agree. There Rabbi Elazar says the Rabbanan will say that you count from outside the enclosure. Toshma. So the Gemara tries another proof to Shmuel, not like Rabbi Elazar. It says in a Braisa, Shabbos Meir, if somebody began Shabbos in a city, afilu hikadol kentuchya, even the city is a very large city, but Ma'aro, or if he began Shabbos in a cave, afilu hikamor tzitkiyo melch Yehuda, even if it's as large of the cave of tzitkiyo, the king of Yehuda, who was the last king of Yehuda, and he built this tunnel, he built a cave under Yerushalayim, so that he could escape when Nebuchadnezzar conquered the city. So halach is mehalachas kulay. He could go through an entire town or cave for chutzloy paim amma, and then outside he begins counting the 2,000 ammas. Now let's analyze the brisa. Ketani ir dumi demara. The brisa is teaching us the law of a town and a cave. So it seems that the town and the cave are similar. Mam aruch areva. A cave is usually an area that's desolate. Af ir chareva. So too the town must be a desolate town. V'shavasin. And what is the Braisa teaching us? Because he was there, Bein HaShemashes, that's why this entire cave, that's why this entire town is counted like Dalet Ames, and you begin counting the Tchum after the town, after the cave. But Avol Haniach, if you just had placed an Erev, Loi, that would not be sufficient that you can count the whole Mora, that you can count the whole town like Dalet Ames. Mani. Now who his opinion is the Brice reflecting. Elaim Rabbi Kiva, if you can tell me it's found Rabbi Kiva, Mayir Chareva. Why do we have to pick a case of desolate, of a Mora, where nobody's living? Afil Yeshiva Nami. Because according to Rabbi Kiva, as we just learned in the Mishnah, the only time you can count the town, the only time you can count the cave as a Dalet Ames is if you're actually physically there. It makes no difference if it's Yeshiva or Chareva. El Lav Rabbanim. It must be that this Brice is reflecting the opinion of the Rabbanim. And what's the Brice teaching us? The town of the Shavasin, only because he actually lived there. He was actually physically there, Bein HaShemashes. That's why you could count the whole town. That's why you could count the whole Mora like Dalet Ames. Av L'Niach, but just by putting down an Erev Loi, it wouldn't be enough. Why wouldn't it be enough? Because it's a place that's chareva, where Rabbanan will agree if it's a place that's chareva, putting the Erev won't be enough. Says the Gemara, Loi Taima. You don't have to say that it's Ir Dumi de Ma'ara, that the Braisa is talking about a town which is similar to the cave, and the cave is desolate, and the town is desolate. Just the opposite. El Eim Ma'ara Dumi de Ir. The cave is a place where people were living. And my Ir Yeshiva, we're talking about a town in which people are living, and Af Ma'ara Yeshiva, and we're talking about a cave where people are living, and the Braisa reflects the position of Rekiva, the Omer, Ein Lo Memakam Eruv El Pai Mama, that even though this is a place that's inhabited, if you only put your Erev there, you cannot count the entire enclosed area like Dalet Ames. You have to start counting it right away, only if you're physically there. But what the Braisa is teaching us, that if he's physically there in an inhabited town, in an inhabited cave, Rabbi Kiva will agree that the town, the cave, is reckoned like 4 Amis, and he begins counting the 2,000 Amis after the town, after the cave. Ask the Gemara, how could you say that we're talking about a cave that's inhabited? The Braisa is talking about a cave as the cave of Tzitkiyo, which was a place that was uninhabited, because like Rashi explains, it was made for the king. Nobody else lived there. And Mefarshim point out that it was a very large cave. Some say it was 12 mil large, others say it was 18 mil large. Says the Gemara, Kemar Sitkiyah v'loy Kemar Sitkiyah. The Braisa, it says it's like the Kemar Sitkiyah, but not completely like the Kemar Sitkiyah. Kemar Sitkiyah, it was like the Kemar Sitkiyah, the Gedolah was very large, like we just explained. However, v'loy Kemar Sitkiyah wasn't exactly Kemar Sitkiyah, Dila Hashem Chareva. The Kemar Sitkiyah was taka place that was uninhabited. V'hocha, this cave referred to in the Braisa, Yeshiva is a place that was inhabited, and Rabbi Kiva will agree that if it's inhabited, if you put down, then if you're physically there, you count the entire enclosed area like Dalet Amos. Says the Gemara, Mar Yehuda Ashkechinu Bei Mevrachta. Rabbi Yehuda met the people of Mevrachta to kamoisev eruvayu bebei knishta bei agar. They were putting their eruv in the shul of Agover. Now this was a very large shul outside the town of Mevrachta, but was within the town of Mevrachta, within the tchum of the town of Mevrachta. The people of Mevrachta were putting down the Erev anywhere in the shul, because they were following the shitta of the Rabbanan, that putting down your Erev is equivalent to you physically being there. So if they put the Erev in the shul, the entire shul is considered like Dalet Amos, and you start counting after the shul. Amalu, so my Yehuda said to them, go deeper into the shul, put your Erev at the end of the shul. So if you put your Erev at the end of the shul, you won't start counting the 2,000 Amos. Let's say you put the Erev in the middle of the shul, you start counting the 2,000 Amos only from where you place the Erev. The deeper in the shul, the further into the shul you put the Erev, the more area you'll gain. So you can have more of a distance to walk. So Rava said to my Yehuda, Pelgor, you're a person that argues with Das Torah. But Erevin less the Choshla de Rekiva. Regarding Erevin, we don't follow the Psaka of Rekiva, and therefore, even if only an Erev, not the person physically, but just an Erev is put in a closed area, that entire closed area is considered like Dalet Amos, and we only begin counting it after that town, after that enclosed area, not like what Rabbi Kiva made a difference between where you place your Erev or where you are physically. And like Rashi and Tosfos point out, why don't we pass on like Rabbi Kiva? Because we've said numerous times in our Masechta, Halacha Kameikel Be'erev. And Ritva takes this even a step further. He says, even in a place where it makes sense to paskin like the Machmer, maybe what Rabbi Kiva says is more sensible, we still paskind like the Mekel Be'erev, and therefore person's putting his Erev is like he's there physically, and if it's in a closed area, that entire enclosed area is considered like Dalet Amos, and that's the way the Mishnah Berurah paskins La Locha L'Maisa. Hanu Loketz Ma'avrin, Hanu Loketz Ma'avrin, Hanu Loketz Ma'avrin.